Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Time hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. NFL season gets underway tonight. The Falcons, Eagles. Before we get back to the Patriots and their schedule, You think Falcons by how much tonight?
10.
By 10.
Yeah.
What's the line on this game? You have a line, Zoe?
I'm a gambler.
You don't have to be a gambler.
Well, I mean,
to
most
enjoy.
Gamblers like Joe Mario and I are Lifshitz. Let's say
I know Jim will have a horse in a matter of seconds.
Did you see Lifshitz got engaged over the weekend?
Good for him.
Down on one knee, put that on Facebook.
See it here at 4. Is that right?
I didn't know he had a girlfriend.
No, wait. What is this?
Got to be 4.
Sorry, it's. No, I don't. I don't have the right line on this. That might be.
You looking for tonight's game?
Yeah. What's the line on tonight's game?
Joe Murray said +1 a little earlier this morning. Falcons +1.
I'd be all over that.
I'd take that
in a second.
Now, I know they're on the road. I know they're at Philly. I know the banner gets up tonight and all that stuff. Does it seem to you like the Eagles are sort of enjoying and celebrating their Super Bowl title a little much?
Good time.
Isn't that what it feels
like? Yeah, taking a victory lap. Just haven't seemed to get on sync at all in offense. And now, hey, they could blow doors off tonight. I mean, that's what the pace of that offense and whole element of the unknown.
Yeah, Nick Foles is going to be the starting quarterback because Carson Wentz still has not been cleared for contact.
Yep.
So Nick Foles at quarterback. And I think tonight you'll be reminded that Nick Foles, despite his Super Bowl MVP performance against the Patriots, is not a good quarterback. Despite his great game that he played, he is not a consistently great quarterback. Yeah. And tonight, I bet he comes smashing back down to earth hard.
Except for that one night in February. Hey, he played well in the playoffs. He really did.
No, of course he did.
Not great at the end of the year.
He had a good month.
But he had two really good playoff games and a fantastic Super Bowl.
Had a good month.
Yep.
Tonight, I would go with the Falcons because I think they're a better team.
Yeah.
Simple. Who's a better team? The Falcons are a better team.
Normally, the better team wins week one. The team, it has better structure, better attention to detail because you're going to be more crisp. You're not going to have mental errors. Do you see Doug Peterson? Seems like he's getting tired of the Carson Wentz questions. Like, he didn't want to talk about it. Like,
why would he get tired of that?
I don't know, because he's like, hey, people, listen to me. They're like, well, what was the process? And he got snippy with one of the reporters. And he gets next question. And then he ended up saying that the next day that, this is a decision between myself, Carson, the doctors, the other coaches, everybody that's been in on this, the surgeon. And he's just, we're in a comfortable spot where we got a pretty good quarterback behind him that can manage this till he's ready. And we want him to be 100% when he's ready to go.
I heard Peter King say the same thing, that Peterson got a little snippy with him when he's asking about the quarterback
stuff. Saying next question, like avoiding the question.
And that was separate from the local reporters that happened last week.
What's the point? If the guy is hurt and he hasn't been cleared, why are you snippy about it? He'll play when he's ready.
Same thing with Nick Saban jumping all over a reporter last weekend about the quarterback. People get irked.
So Rapsheet had the report that Foles was starting, and Peterson got bent out of shape because of it. Because it was reported before he announced it.
That's why.
I don't know if the success is going to his head, and he wants full control now or what, but okay, something's going on.
What's the point of that? Carson Wentz cannot go out and take a hit right now. That's not even a decision you're making.
Well, he wants the opposing team to prepare for both. He wants that little bit of an advantage here. But like,
how
really,
long does that last?
I don't know.
The Falcons have probably known Foles has been starting all offseason.
Would you roll the dice and prepare against Foles, though?
Yeah, I would. I mean, if you're Dan knowing that company. Carson Wentz is coming off the torn ACL, yes. I would. I'd be preparing for
guys
that.
Guys are taking a snap at a preseason.
Do you know who the Eagles
are
this year?
Really game plan anyways? Aren't they one of those defenses that they roll and do what they do no matter what?
I agree with that. Absolutely. They're not good at the whole coaching thing there. I don't know if you've noticed that.
You know what today is.
I don't know if the coaching and game planning and schemes have you've sort of noticed what. Yeah, we won't get into that. I don't want to beat them up.
Today's Thursday.
Yeah.
You know what it is in Atlanta.
Oh.
It's dedicated to the ball. It's ball Thursday.
Ball day.
Ball day today.
This is what the Eagles are this year to me. The Eagles in 2018 are the 2002 Patriots.
Oh.
9-7, baby. 9-7. 9, and so they've got that type of thing written all over them. I don't know that they know how to handle the success, and I don't know that this head coach is going to be able to handle it, because he's already cracking and sniping at guys when they're asking him a simple question of, who's your quarterback to start the year? What is there to be upset about? One guy's hurt.
Well, it's like, how did
he's going to make it back?
You know what it was? It was, how did you, the question was, I think, how did you come to this decision?
I mean, Nick Foles is not a great quarterback, but he's a damn good backup. If that's your backup, right, you're doing well.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good.
So you say, hey, we got a good backup, and when the other guy's healthy, he'll play. End of story. There's the message. What's the point of getting all pissed off about that for? Right. Spend your energy on other things would be my recommendation to him. Spend your energy elsewhere instead of getting all mad with the media over that. Not going to start the year. The guy's hurt. Nothing you can do about that. Hope he gets healthy soon. The good news is the guy who's going to start for us doesn't suck. He's not great, but he doesn't suck. In fact, he just won a Super Bowl MVP. Got to hand it to him. 617-779-0985. Other thing today, Patriots schedule, according to Football Outsiders, is the easiest schedule in the entire NFL. Now, this is a preseason projection. This does not reflect what these teams will actually be. And as you know, Zoe, by the time we get to about the middle of October, we start to know who's for real and who isn't.
Right.
You start to get a sense of who's going to play, who's going to be good. And 8 weeks from now, we might look at the Patriots schedule and feel completely different about it. We may feel exactly the same as we do now, which is they've got some good teams on it. They've got some bad teams on it. But you would think with five really good opponents on this Patriots schedule that it would be considered better than the worst in the NFL, because the Patriots cannot play themselves like other teams in their division can. Like I brought up the point about the Jets earlier, the Jets schedule is considered much harder because the Patriots are good.
So you get penalized for being good when you rank a schedule.
You get penalized for not being able to play yourself.
Isn't it about the strength of the opponent? Isn't that really what you're evaluating here?
But the Patriots being on the Bills schedule twice, being on the Jets schedule twice,
being on the Dolphins schedule twice
is automatically adding two very difficult games from their perspective onto their schedules.
So the Pittsburgh Steelers don't have a cakewalk in the AFC North? Playing the Ravens, the Cleveland Browns, and the Bengals.
Well,
I joked earlier about the Bengals schedule, and I pulled it up. You know the Bengals playing the first five games? Just take a quick snippet here. They open up with Chicago. Then they have the Bills. Then they have the Colts. Then they have the Panthers, which are a good team. And then they play the Dolphins and the Jets. So, I mean, how is that not the worst schedule in the league? The Patriots have the easiest schedule in the league, opening up with Houston and Jacksonville. And you've got teams like Minnesota that have been in the NFC conference title game.
Here are the five good games.
Jacksonville last year.
I think you and I agree on this. Ready? Patriots, five good games.
Yep.
Jaguars.
Jags.
Packers.
Packers.
Vikings.
Yep. Steelers.
Steelers. And I'm missing one. Oh, Texans.
Houston.
We're counting Houston this weekend. That's what we're doing. So you bring up Cincinnati. I'll bring up the Steelers. Do the Steelers have five good games? They have the Falcons, so that's one.
Yep.
They have the Jaguars, so that's two. They have the Patriots, that's three.
Yep.
The Saints, that's
four. Saints are a good team, four.
And then it comes down to, do you consider the Ravens a really good, tough game? No, but you got to play them twice.
But they're the pain in the ass in our division.
And so I think the difference might just be the division. And the Patriots are going to get accused of having the worst schedule again because
your division
sucks.
Basically, have two rookie quarterbacks starting, and Ryan Tannehill.
Well,
that's your foe.
The rookie is not starting in Buffalo.
I know that, but I said by the time you play the Bills, the rookie may be starting in Buffalo.
Peterman is starting out in Buffalo.
Peterman.
But get ready for it. I mean, the Patriots have dealt with this the last 2 years. Accused of having the easiest schedule. Didn't hurt them last year. They went all the way to the Super Bowl. Should have won the damn thing.
Yeah.
Didn't. But they're as of right now, being projected to have the easiest schedule in the NFL. We'll see about that. I think they got two tough games out of the gate in September. Two really tough games, week one and week two, which Mike Reese, you tell me, predicts losses in both.
0-2.
0-2.
Now, say they reverse that, and they come out hot, and they take care of both teams. You know what team people are going to do? It's like almost a no-win situation for them. Haha, I told you it was the easiest schedule.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that.
So
Pete's in Framingham. Hey, Pete.
Hey, what's going on? What's up, Zoe?
What's up, Pete?
What's up, man? How you guys doing?
That's chilling. Good, good. Real good.
Good. So yeah,
radio show.
O-line. So I got the O-line going on. What's so with now with Trent Brown at left tackle,
yep,
and Marcus Cannon back, what do you guys think with Dwayne Allen taking that contract,
yep,
renegotiation, and James Devlin being your fullback, how are they going to be utilizing the O-line this year?
They're going to run the ball. I mean, you get ready for that 12 personnel. When I say 12 personnel, it takes another receiver off the field, puts the extra tight end on. The emergence of Hollister is the third tight end, too. I really look at him as the backup, but Dwayne Allen's strictly going to be a blocker, so he'll be kept in to help Chip along with Devlin. And what's interesting is keep an eye on Sony Michel here. You know, I know he was limited yesterday. I expect Burkhead to have a big day on Sunday, but I just think maybe Michel might be ready to go before people think he is. And that could be a big help to them through the first 4 weeks if you're going to churn the clock and keep the ball away from other teams and wait until you get Julian Edelman back. But I still think there's a receiver to come. Still do.
One more chance to win tickets to Sunday's game on this show today. That's coming up at 1:30. Your next chance to win Patriots-Texans tickets on Zolak and Bertrand. 1:30 today is when you want to be listening. We've already given away one pair today. I mentioned tonight's game. The NFL season opens up. I just asked Jim, what was the line on this thing? Well, you know what? Not only the line, how about an action update from VSIN on tonight's game? What you should be looking at, and wait for this. When you hear the term hook in this update, it means a half a point, so. All right? So be ready for it. Here it is.
Now a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's action update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sign up for free daily sports betting coverage for the Vegas Stats and Information Network at vsin.com/newsletter. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The 214-day wait is nearly over. Pro football is back tonight with the Philadelphia Eagles, a narrow favorite at home against the Atlanta Falcons. About half the books here in Las Vegas make the spread 1 point. The other half add the hook. The total is either 44.5 or 45. On the money line, the Eagles are 15 to 25 cent favorites. The Falcons are even money, give or take a nickel. After opening 7, most books have held the line this week at 6.5 for the Patriots as home favorite Sunday against the Texans. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Is it kind of like preseason and camp is for business? And then,
you know, OTAs, the preseason, all that, but not when it's game time and you know that you have $14 million looming out there and you're still not hearing your team really wants you to hear this. At this point, we got Connor. We're just all grown up to finally accept things at some point, and you're just like, all right, you know what? If you don't want to be here, it is what it is. And hold out 10 weeks. It's totally fine with us. Like, as a team, we're totally fine. It takes 11 guys, not just one.
That's Marquise Pouncey right there. Talking about his teammate, Le'Veon Bell, who has not yet reported to the Steelers. Who do you have a bigger issue with right now? Le'Veon Bell or Le'Veon Bell's teammates?
I have a bigger issue with the teammates.
So do I. How stupid is that?
You know what Le'Veon Bell's doing? And this is nothing new. I mean, he's their bell cow. He's everything. He runs the ball. He catches the ball. He's a unique runner, which works with their blocking style. So I know they said that, hey, we got this Connor kid. We're good to go. Yeah, you're not really good to go unless you have little Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Against good teams.
So he's
against
it.
Good teams.
Two guys, Ramon Foster and Marquise Pouncey, are now ripping the running back.
You're telling me
Le'Veon Bell
how to handle my contract?
For holding out. He's scheduled under the tag to make $14.54 million this year.
Now, here's what they may be looking at. Okay, OBJ just got paid. Odell Beckham.
Yes.
He showed up. He reported.
Mm-hmm.
He did not hold out.
He's also a receiver.
Yes.
Who have better longevity in the NFL than running backs.
And that's what Le'Veon Bell is fighting for. if I'm top three in the game at my position, which he is, he's top three in the game, I'm just seeing Aaron Donald get paid. I'm seeing Khalil Mack get dealt, get paid. I'm seeing all these quarterbacks get paid. I see Kirk Cousins. We don't know what Kirk Cousins is going to be. Yeah. Fully guaranteed contract. They're holding me down. And the Pittsburgh wants to keep tagging me and tagging me and tagging me instead of giving me, I could go out and blow out my knee in fourth game. What he's doing is smart. He's going to show up Saturday to make sure he gets paid.
You know, other
they
than...
They can't play him. They won't play him. So he's going to say it's another game off that it's going to save me. Be fresh as lettuce, maybe in 3 weeks when I'm ready to go. But they got to pay me for the 4 year.
Okay, other than like Franco Harris and... Or Frank O'Harris, as the intern once said.
Yeah, the idiot intern.
Other than Franco Harris and Jerome Bettis, who are bigger, tougher backs... You look at the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you look at all the guys that they have just burned through at running back, and this is the way to do it. Churn and burn, baby, at the running back position, whether it's Willie Parker or Rashard Mendenhall.
Steelers are doing the right thing, and Le'Veon Bell's doing the right thing.
D'Angelo Williams. Yeah. You can put this guy in that category of, I don't think you're going to hang around for a long time.
Let me ask you
You're a running back. Running backs don't last. You have over 5,000 yards in your career already. Yep, that means you're going to be on the back nine soon.
Here's your problem in Pittsburgh. Okay, you got a quarterback that said, okay, I might be retiring, might not be retiring, right? He was pondering that. Then they go out and draft a guy. Now this guy gets his fat ass in shape. He's going to come in and be ready to go. And you got a diva receiver on the outside. It's Facebook living people inside a Steelers locker room, which is backdooring the coach.
True.
Does this coach have a pretty good feel for his football team? Does he have a good control? Is he going to be a... Dude, they met last year to talk about how they were going to handle the national anthem. And I'm not bringing up the national anthem, but remember how they screwed it up in Roethlisberger? We were all supposed to stay in the locker room. But then Villanueva, he goes out and he's standing down there. We left the guy hanging. They can't even get that straight. This doesn't seem like a stable locker room that's able to handle, you know, contract on contract crime.
What are you doing?
And that's what you're doing.
You're a player.
You
Marquise Pouncey, Ramon Foster, you guys are players.
You guys, this is what happens in this league.
Rising.
They don't back down. The owners always win. The teams always win.
You've got a guy who's fighting for more money. He's fighting back against the franchise tag. Regardless of whether or not you think he makes too much.
He's probably one of the highest paid damn centers in the league, top three. What do you think this guy wants to get?
Rising tides raise all boats.
Yeah.
You want players to make a lot of money. You shouldn't be critical of guys that are trying to make more. The only time I could think where you would be upset that a guy makes money is if you were at the same position on the same team and you see a guy get a big payday, because then you think, I'm going to have to get my payday somewhere else because, you know, like what just happened. Odell Beckham Jr., right? Where you've got Sterling Shepard who's like, yes! I'm like, wait a minute. They're not going to pay you too. You're going to have to go elsewhere now.
But he's happy for his teammate.
I get it, but that might be the only time you're disappointed with a teammate getting paid.
Right.
You should always be about your teammates getting
paid. This is typical Pittsburgh. This is beyond. Okay.
This is what happens if he comes back now.
2:30 in the morning before a game, or, you know, they need this guy.
What happens? The rumor is he's going to report on Saturday. He's not going to play on Sunday, but he'll report to the team. What now happens with the running back, the star running back in the offensive line? Now, are we going to have everyone get together again and make nice and mediate this issue?
Maybe second game you might miss a block or two, and now all of a sudden it's remember the Titans. Why are you not blocking for Petey, man? Petey, give me the damn ball. How many feet are in a mile, Petey? 3,564 feet. You carry that ball.
Was that Denzel in that movie, or was that...
That was Denzel, man. I didn't screw that one up. He was good
then. I thought it may have been Morgan Freeman.
5,280.
What did he say?
3,564. A little short. Just keep running, Petey. I just threw a number out there.
Did you?
Yeah.
If he goes a few weeks, though, and James Conner comes out and runs like he was at Pitt before he got sick,
yeah.
Do they consider rescinding that tag? Because they said they won't.
Nope.
But
I wouldn't.
Why?
You're paying less every week. Every week that goes by, you've got less that you owe him.
You may not be a contender without this guy. Seriously.
Why? Because wouldn't you love to have him for the second half in the playoffs? Of course you would.
Cold games in Pittsburgh?
Oh, yeah. He's one of the few running backs that legitimately makes a real difference.
He's tough. He's taking a beating. He's got some. And he's got some miles on it for Michigan State and his years in the league with Pittsburgh.
In the regular season, yes,
he gets you there.
Yes,
he's David Price
in the playoffs.
He's David Price. He gets you there
in the playoffs. I don't know about that, but in the regular season, he does.
Yeah, he helps get you there. He'll get you. He'll get you to divisional round or AFC championship.
That doesn't mean you're going to win because you have a good run.
Now, his groin might be shot by that point, but.
Yeah. We've talked about this. Jim, we went over that list of, you know, is the running back coming back in the league? In the regular season, they are. They're a big factor in the regular season. When it actually comes down to winning, when it counts the most, I can't really come up with a team that has really been there recently and made a big difference with their running back.
Bet you Jacksonville would rather run a little Leonard Fournette a little more than they did at the end of that game.
Yeah, but that's just any running back. I mean, it didn't have to be Leonard Fournette, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about strategy.
It's not about Fournette. It's about not giving Bortles the ball.
That's about strategy. That's not about about who you have at
Jim
running back.
Bortles.
Jeremy is in Norton on this issue of Le'Veon Bell. Jeremy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What do you got?
So I think the reason the Steelers players are pissed is because Bell got franchise tagged, so they can't re-sign him to a deal. The deadline for that is in the middle of July. So he can't get any money from the Steelers. More than he's already gotten under the tag because they're not allowed to extend him a deal.
So what's the point? I don't understand. Why would you still be upset with him?
Because he's holding out and they can't give him anything else other than what they've already offered.
Right, but so okay. First of all, it sounds like he's coming back. And this point I sort of get, but I don't understand why you would publicly go after the player.
Yeah, see... It was wasn't it Logan Mankins and who was the receiver from San Diego that went to Tampa, the big kid.
V-Jax?
Yeah, Vincent Jackson, right?
Yeah.
Those guys did that and they came back what? Week 9?
Yeah, do you know why though?
Cuz they would have lost
the
year.
They don't want to expose themselves to injury.
Right.
Is what they don't want to do.
Lose the year too.
Well, it depends. If he comes back and he gets the accrued season, right? That means the tag did apply. It means he agreed to the tender and came back. If he sits out the whole year, Pittsburgh can tag him a second time at the same number. Or they could tag him again at that $14-plus million that they tagged him at this year. If he doesn't show.
Right.
They can still control him. They would have to tag him again. They have a right to do it again because he didn't show. But coming back and playing the end of the year gets him to a closer point of getting the hell out of there. Right?
Yeah.
And if I were the Steelers... I would almost be rooting for him to wait out. Wait out like 5-6 weeks, come back, play the second half of the year, you pay him, and then you say, sayonara, running backs. Not signing running backs to big long-term deals with giant guaranteed money. They're the fastest guys to break down. Churn and burn. Pittsburgh's been doing it for a long time.
Willie Parker.
Willie Parker. Now, is... Le'Veon Bell better than Willie Parker? Yes, but the same timeline applies on those types of backs. The smaller, shiftier, faster, more athletic guys. They don't hold up. Who holds up like that? Who are the guys that hold up?
There aren't any. Really aren't.
Willie Parker. That's who you got on your hands again.
He's a breakaway guy. They comboed him with Bettis. Boom, boom. 1-2 punch.
617-779-0985. 1 hour away for another pair of Patriots tickets. Oh, here's Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
9-8 win for the Red Sox last night as they completed the sweep of the Braves in Atlanta. Brock Holt.
Big win for us. Huge win. It'll definitely make the flight back to Boston a lot happier. You know, getting the sweep against a really good team. And, you know, go into the off day feeling pretty good.
And they get the day off, as he just said, before the Astros come to town tomorrow night for a weekend set and the start of the 9-game homestand for the Red Sox. As far as the Patriots, they're getting ready for their regular season opener Sunday at home against Houston. The league begins their season tonight. Atlanta takes on Philadelphia. The Revolution beat New York City FC in Yankee Stadium last night, 1-0 the final. That snaps a 9-game winless streak for the Revs. Headlines are brought to you by U.S. Marker Board, the go-to supplier of whiteboards and glass boards for New England businesses for over 20 years. Drop your next winning play at usmarkerboard.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Peace up. A-Town. Yeah.
You okay?
You need no food? You need no making a pizza? Hardy,
Q-tip. Hey, Hardy, how'd the Revs do last night?
The Revs struggled in the first half. They put an interesting starting 11 out on the pitch last night. Can't wait to talk to Brad Friedel about this. I don't know if it was a wake-up type of starting 11, if he was just giving a couple of guys rest, but when you put a keeper in net that has not played all season, like Brad Knight, and I'm like, what is Turner hurt? What's going on?
But they won.
They won.
This guy.
They won. They beat the third place team last night. The Reds are currently back there in eighth place. They were 6 points out of a playoff spot. And I think my gut tells me Friedel's like, you know what? Screw it. These other guys aren't getting it done. Took one of his best players, put him on the bench last night, put the other guy in goal, and they won 1-0 in New York on a place where that team has not lost all season on their home field. The Yankee Stadium field for soccer is garbage. It's narrow. It's weird. It doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. And that team, I think they were 10-0-3 going into that match last night, the New York City FC. But Revolution got a late goal in 70th minute. It got the 1-0 win and got the hell out of town.
No, it's about time they snapped that losing streak.
Well,
it was a winless streak. That's different from a losing streak. It was a winless streak.
If you ain't winning, you're losing.
But you
sometimes you're tying.
But that sweet shirt you had on yesterday, were you high-fiving people on the way home after the big win? Maybe stop and got a coffee.
It was a good-looking shirt, and I got a lot of compliments on it yesterday.
I'll tell you, the photo I posted of you looked very young in the photo.
You look like a schoolboy.
Good filter on that,
right?
It was a photograph of the television screen.
Yeah, whatever that did to you, you looked decades younger.
Yes. Like,
how that happened, I don't know, but you did.
It looked like Ellen on her talk show. They just smear Vaseline on that camera lens.
That's a legitimate still game. Shot. I think if Josh and NBC Sports Boston, if you could go back to my tweet, if you can display the tweet photo, that would be the money shot.
There was a lot going on.
A lot
with
of
that
youth
shirt.
Displayed.
Whoa. And a lot going on with that shirt yesterday. A lot of stripes, a lot of logos.
What's Calvin saying?
A lot going on.
When he put that shirt on.
He says, ooh, nice shirt.
Because it's appropriate for it. How old is Calvin now?
He's 8.
Right, for an 8-year-old, that's a damn impressive shirt. You wear that thing to school at 8 years old, you're like, hey, nice shirt.
That's sweet.
Nice.
Oh, maybe I'll get him one.
You should. Kids love soccer. 617-779-0985. Jim, are you laughing at us or something else? No, he's laughing at something else.
Part of the private text chain there. Tom and I were laughing about that.
Okay.
Can you share
Photoshops.
With us?
You share it.
Never mind. In that picture.
Never mind.
You guys are photoshopping stuff on my picture when I fell asleep at the pool. Hardy.
That's what I'm referencing.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep.
It's like the movie Superbad. If you've ever seen Superbad, there's one particular item that ends up being drawn a lot of times.
And I think Jonah Hill,
he tends to draw a particular item quite a bit. Hardy has a tendency to draw that on the iPhone on any pictures that are sent.
Of Zoe.
I'm concerned.
Just with Zoe.
I'm going to eat her.
Paul's in Pawtucket. Paul.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I just want to catch up on the whole New England Revolution.
Yes.
I'm from Pawtucket, and the whole about the McCoy Stadium situation of going to Worcester, the Paw Sox. And I know that they were talking about bringing the Revolution, possibly looking at the Apex site. And now that I heard that they were looking at
I bought a TV from Apex back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, so what about the Apex site and the Revs? What does that have to do with
this? Nice little spot right off the S-curve.
Well, I heard that Boston, nice they were looking at Boston, but I guess it's not going to work out and maybe reevaluate the Apex site. And they have the Slater Mill there, and I was thinking maybe the Industrial Revolution, New England Revolution, they can make like a revolution.
Ooh, I see them fire the guns off like when you drive by.
I don't think so.
Put a cannon on top of that
building. Paul, I think you're rooting for something that's never going to happen.
They renamed the team New England Industrial Revolution, and they put it.
What if they put it
in an old asbestos mill?
What if they named it the Paul Revere's and they put it up in Revere Beach next to Kelly's?
Hey, whatever they can do, but there's Kelly's a lot of cultural Kelly's diversity Stadium. In this area.
There's a lot. There's a lot of culture.
Yeah.
And I actually play with Jeff Cameron. I'm originally from Alabama.
All right, this call's going a little too deep here, Paul. That's where we're going to drop the call. Thank you. Appreciate it. The tow lot went up for sale last week. Did you see that?
What?
For those of you,
the
Boston tow lot is going up for sale.
It's not far from here.
The city is going to finally sell the damn thing.
Where is it?
They just got to figure out where they're going to put all the stuff that is currently housed there.
Is it on Morrissey Boulevard?
No, it's actually... I think that's not frontage there. It's
South Boston.
It's right next to 93. It's right next to it. It's on the other side from where Pine Street Inn is. On the other side of the highway is the tow lot.
All right.
It's the road that goes under the highway before you.
And do they no longer tow cars and put them
just
there?
Just think, South Boston, where you come over from, like where Broadway is, you come over the bridge, you can see it right there.
Put them in a globe bill. Pull cars in a globe bill.
Oh, by the way, we got that Hardy photo up from yesterday with his Rev shirt. It's right over there in our studio. We got to get a full screen of that.
He looks like somebody out of Lost Boys.
Young man.
Like a model.
Young man.
Did you get Botox?
Hardy the Revs fan.
It looks like I did in that photo.
Wow. Nice lighting.
Look at that kid.
Looks like you powdered your forehead.
You know what? It is Frontage Road at that point. That is still Frontage Road there.
So they sold it.
They haven't sold it yet.
It's up for sale.
They're going to put it up for sale.
Who's going to buy it?
I don't know. But that is the spot where a lot of people have said that's where the Rev Stadium has to go. Was a big part of the 2024 Olympic bid, right?
Yep.
That was going to be a big part of where they were building this stuff. Right. So now it's going to be sold and developed. That seems like a natural place to put it, to put the new Rev Soccer Stadium.
Yep. I know we're going to talk to Coach, but it is football season, which means we have a special guest on the line, which is a pretty good indicator that things are kicking off this week. Why don't you go to him right there, Beetle?
I'm sorry?
Why don't you go to a little special guest right there?
Oh, that's not a special guest.
Yeah, he is.
Jungle O's back.
Okay. Hey.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up? You're my monkey. What's happening?
Not much, though. I'm still up here at the zoo. And,
what are they feeding you nowadays?
There's empty toilets up here, and I just got hit with...
Okay, that's where I'm going to end that one, too, Artie.
Wow!
Because I got Brad Friedel. Coming up next, I don't want to be late to Brad Friedel's interview. So, Brad Friedel, head coach of the Revolution.
When Zoe and Jungle start riffing on their monkey jokes, it's like good jazz. How do you do that?
I don't even know what they're feeding him at the zoo. He was going to tell us.
Eject. Brad Friedel is coming your way next.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Another chance to win Patriots tickets coming up at 1:30. Let's welcome in the head coach of the Revolution, Brad Friedel, joins us now. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
Finally, we won a game with us having you on.
Yeah, it's streak. We're out.
We're up and running.
We're not the reason anymore.
Yeah, but we're speaking after the game. So I used to be superstitious as a player early on. Now you're bringing it back a little bit. No,
so you changed it up on us. You normally,
No, we're all good. We'll take it as a good thing for us.
Coach, I was doing the pregame last night, and I saw the starting 11. I thought, this is interesting. What was the thought process behind that? Was that just giving a couple of guys a rest? Was it a bit of a wake-up call? How did that work out?
I think a little bit of everything, and different probably for other positions. I think Diego on the last game wasn't at his best, and we love Diego, for goodness, at the club, my staff and myself, and I think all the fans and everyone associated. And I thought when he came on yesterday, had a fantastic attitude when he saw the team that was named, and when he came on, I think he was one of the ones that helped change it, because we had a much better second half last night than the first. And Teal Bunbury still had a little recurrence of his injury that kept him out a few games ago, and Brian Wright has been training very, very well. We thought it was a perfect time to give him his debut, and it paid dividends for us.
And did you anticipate how well he would play? I mean, did you think that this was possible, or he had some huge saves for you?
Yeah, and Brad Knighton played very well, and Brad's an experienced goalkeeper. Matt Turner's another one. He's going to have, hopefully have a very long and prosperous future and career with New England Revolution. But over the last 10 games or so, I think things have taken its toll on him a little bit mentally, and it's up to us now as a staff to build him back up, as he truly is a fantastic shot stopper. And, it's a life of a goalkeeper. Everyone has to go through it. I went through it. Any of the top goalkeepers go through it. When you're young and you're in one of your first couple of seasons, you will hit a dip in form, and it's how you come out of it on the other side. So no doubt that Matt will come through it very, very well. And with Brad having an experienced guy who works as hard as he does day in, day out, I thought he came up, especially with one very, very big save in the first half. I thought his distribution, by and large, was very good for us, and sort of a calming influence on the evening. So we were pleased.
I was wondering about that last night and about what you would think of it afterward. He had a busy night back there, and you mentioned the one great save in the first half. There were a couple others that seemed to be right at him. Was that a result of his positioning, or is it maybe some missed opportunities by the New York City club? Or what did you think of his performance overall, other than the fact that he pitched a shutout for you? I mean, it seemed at times it was almost easy for him.
Yeah, he made some things look easy, and I think it's a culmination of both. I think unless CFC missed a couple of chances on a different day, they could go in, but on a different day, Isaac Hankins could go in, and Brian Wright's off the post could go in, and and perhaps Brian, he wasn't offsides by much, so not saying that we had the bulk of play, because we didn't, but sometimes these bounces go your way and sometimes they don't. So a lot of it will be positioning and as well, and you have to put yourself in the right place at the right time and stand your ground and make the saves. But he was very, very good. And on a small field, it's not easy to deal with crosses. Balls are on top of you quicker than normal. The field, I know they say it's 110. It's actually only 106 yards long, which is remarkable to play on in a professional game, and it makes the game very different where everything is just far quicker than normal. But Brad was excellent in the first half, because we weren't up to our best in the first half. Again, a little bit nervy because of the run that we've been on, and in the second half, I thought when Diego came on and Juan and Isaac, I thought they all three substitutions that came on did a very good job for us.
We're talking with Revs head coach Brad Friedel. You mentioned that it's different. The pitch is narrower. As you mentioned, it's shorter. They do this ridiculous thing where they roll out turf over the infield of the baseball field. You said it was different. Is it more difficult? Is it hard to deal with?
In some aspects of the game, it's much more difficult. It's funny, people give us grief for having turf. And that field is by far the worst in the league to play on. 68 yards wide, 106 long, with different types of grass laid all over it, and at a very strange angle within a baseball field. So it is difficult to deal with the crosses. I would say when you try to close down, it might be a little bit easier at the end of the game because it's so small. When we want to try to stay compact, it makes it a little bit easier, which is probably one of the reasons why we looked fairly solid dealing with their crosses and set pieces on the day, because you don't have to cover as much space on the field. But and let's put it this way, an awkward place to play and a very difficult place to get a result. That's their first loss at home. And I think a lot of it has to do, yes, with they have some very, very talented players, but also with the elements that you have to go up against.
Got the week off before you play in L.A. a week from Saturday. What are you going to do at the time? You going to head out there early at all, or you got some other stuff planned?
With the day off today, we're going to train the next couple of days. We'll also give the players Sunday off, and then we'll train Monday through Thursday, and then get on a plane Thursday. So we'll go 2 days early for that game. We're going to hope NYCFC does us a favor against DC this weekend. And hopefully we can take some of this positive momentum into LAFC. And if we gained a crucial 3 points in Montreal, because it was one of our games in hand, And we've got to win our next game in hand to get level points with them. And we, as everyone probably knows, we play them on the last game of the season at home. So everything's still to play for, but it was a crucial time, crucial point of the season to get the 3 points.
All right, and Coach, I don't know if you know, my man Hardy worked the Dell Technologies tournament all weekend, over Labor Day weekend, and you visited with a couple players. Hardy, you didn't even know he was there, probably.
No, well.
Oh, you did?
No.
Because a couple of players, too, for a couple of the golfers went to the game.
A couple of the golfers went to the game, and then Charlie Davis and Brad Knight were supposed to come over. Brad was late, though, coming to his interview because he wanted to watch Tiger. I'm like, yeah, I wanted to watch Tiger, too, but I'm here working, and you're supposed to be interviewing. But it all worked out. He went and got the win for you last night, so I guess everything happens for a reason, right?
Yeah, it was. When you set up your goalkeepers that you have in the team, it's always important to have one of the experienced guys there, and you never know when you're going to get called on. But it's always good that when you do get called on, that you have a wise head that can take it in stride. And he did just that. And I have to reiterate, Matt Turner's an outstanding goalkeeper, and I think he has a long future with us. So this will be a learning experience for him.
Great. Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Brad Friedel joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
There wasn't a lot of mention of it last night, at least from what I saw from Feldman and Mariner when they started the broadcast. I didn't see them running down the list of the starting 11, but when we were doing it on our quick pregame last night, I'm like, huh, this feels like either a give up type of starting 11. But if you know Coach Friedel, you know the way the guys are behaving on this team, they're not out of it. You know, they're on the wrong side of the playoff line right now, but it's not an insurmountable task. To me, it looked like a wake-up call starting 11, and that's what the coach just said. He goes, yeah, a couple of guys are either banged up, but he said Juan didn't have a great game the last time he was out there, and he took not being one of the starting 11 in stride, and he did look good when he came into the game. So everything worked out last night, even changing up the keeper, which Knighton hadn't played this year. It's been all Matt Turner all season long. So that was a big switch last night.
11-year vet, too, right?
Yeah. And it worked.
All right, Hardy has our headlines. We are back with the fourth and final hour. 1.5 hour from now at 1:30 is your next chance to win Patriots tickets for this Sunday's game against the Houston Texans. We're giving away a pair of tickets at 1:30. You must be listening. Don't go anywhere.